and welcome to the Safe and Judy Podcast. A podcast where we try to talk about video game related stuff and be adults and not giggle.
Okay, you're doing okay so far.
And not condescend our other co-host.
Okay.
Or give feedback they don't need to hear right now. I'm Shanae Howard. I'm Shanae Howard. The gentleman that you've heard making comments is Ryan Robinson. And we also have Tommy Shelby.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
You guys need more energy, see?
Yeah. See, Tom did it like a morning.
I was doing well, and then you started giggling and making comments.
Well, that's true. Should we start over?
No, we're okay. You want to start over?
I want to start over.
Don't start the recording over. Just start over from here. So, 3, 2, 1, go.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Save Continue Podcast. A podcast where we try to talk about video games, video game related stuff, other things that catch our interest, and be adults, I guess, sometimes. I'm Shanae Howard. This is Ryan Robinson.
Hi!
And we have Tommy Shelby.
Hello.
We reversed it. You see what we did there?
Yeah.
So what's up with you, Shanae? I know you had a little bit of trouble getting here. But how's your week been?
My week's been fine. It's been really busy at work, so I've been working a lot, but I'm making money, so that's good.
Hell yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild, and I mean a lot. I have decided to stop following most quests and just start climbing mountains.
Okay.
And paragliding to shit.
I hear that there's a lot of climbing involved in that game.
There's a tremendous amount of climbing.
Is it to the point where it's no longer fun to climb?
No, it's fun.
It's fine.
Okay.
The only problem I have with the climbing,
okay,
is that you cannot climb in shrines. And I understand why they do that, but it just seems kind of jarring when you can climb literally everything except in shrines.
Well, they give you stairs in there or what?
I mean, there's all sorts of different things.
Depending on the shrine.
But yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, I've just been on Breath of the Wild like a lot. Haven't really been playing, like I said, any of the story. I've found places where I've climbed cliffs and just gone out to the middle of the ocean and found like little islands and shit.
Nice.
Or a little sea, and like finding shrines over there, finding these like little cliffs places, and then there's
Do you go bowling yet?
I have not gone bowling. I didn't know that was part. Thank you for ruining that surprise.
Well, it's pretty well known. Like it's people are using it as an exploit to like get as much cash as you need.
Oh yeah, so because I want to get that house.
Yeah,
you can get houses.
I know you can get a house.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty excited about that. I've just been like mining stuff, catching random things, making different elixirs, and seeing like what recipes are. And I know I can like look at this stuff online, but I just like have a little notebook.
It's more fun to find it yourself.
Yeah, I have a little notebook of what I've been like, what recipes I've been I like, and which ones I want to repeat and stuff. It's been fun.
You know, I might be wrong about this, but I feel like I mixed ingredients, made a recipe, and then mixed the same ingredients and got the same dish, but with different like amounts of effect.
So I mean, it's quantity as well as like,
right.
I mean, if you feel the exact same one, I have not had that experience.
Like I said, I could be wrong.
I have not had that experience where it's a different, or if I put the same quantity, it's a different like amount at the end for like how much it boosts you. What I've been doing is combining different, like, these two things give you stealth, put them both in the recipe and see, which ones help boost it more.
Yeah.
And then, like, if I put, like, just, like, two, like, of the same gives you stealth and then a bunch of, like, garbage, just, like, filler to add extra hearts or whatever, how much does that affect anything? It's been fun.
Seems like a really fun game, and I wish that I could play it.
You can, just buy a Wii U.
I guess that's true, but I don't know. I don't know that I want to buy a Wii U at this point. Although I feel as if you were to buy a Wii U, I guess maybe now would be the time because everything that's good on it that was going to come out has already come out. So, I mean, there's that, but I don't know.
Okay, so here's the thing with Zelda. Right. I love it a lot. But like Shanae, I've done very, very little when it comes to the main line of the game. Mm-hmm. I've done almost exclusively just random bullshit, collecting Korok seeds and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no way that I'm going to have the time to finish this by the time Persona 5 comes around.
Yeah.
So you can just borrow my Switch while I play Persona 5.
Well, I'm going to be playing Persona 5, so...
That's true.
Speaking of which, okay, so recently I said somewhere online that, you know, I generally don't like anime, but I love Persona.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Persona series, which is anime as fuck. And I learned that people really don't like it when you say that you don't like anime. But...
Well, it's just a general thing. It's like someone says, I don't like sports. They're like, well, like any of them?
Well, I don't... There are conventions shared amongst all genres of anime that I don't like. So that's another conversation altogether. But with the Persona series, from what I've seen of Persona 5, for like going into it, I've never played a Persona game that I didn't like. Of course, the Persona 3 was definitely the first in the series that like really, really sucked me in.
Yeah.
And and thematically, it looks to me like visual presentation. It looks to me kind of close to what I was seeing in Yakuza 0. And so that's making me excited even more. But I know that this is a game also likely like Yakuza 0 that's going to take me a really long time to get through. Because I put over 80 hours into Yakuza 0 by the time I saw the end credits. So I'm really looking forward to this being a huge time sink for me at this point.
Are you going to use a guide?
Nah.
The problem that I run into with Persona is that, you know, you've got things to get done, right? During the day, you've got things you got to get done.
Yeah, you
got
to go to school.
Got to go to school, clubs, jobs, whatever.
You have to maintain your social links.
Building relationships, all that, right? And I always feel like, man, I could have done that day better.
Yeah.
But now I can't, you know? And there's guides, at least for Persona 4, there's guides of like the perfect way to do each day.
Yeah.
You know?
I just feel like
that. And I don't want to do that.
It feels like that kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I just want to maximize my time.
Yeah.
You know?
So, there's certain games and genres. There's certain games that I totally use a guide for the entire way, and they're mainly the ones that are like the most time consuming. Just because thanks to Star Ocean, I've gotten bitten real hard in the ass for just wasting my time to not complete what I've been trying to accomplish for the last like 40 hours.
Yeah.
And I just... I don't know.
Do it again, I guess.
Oh, and then I never like fully complete it, and then it just stays uncompleted, and it's part of the reason. But I know that there's...
It's like that fucking Killing Floor 2 trophy I still need.
But there's also like...
Haunting.
But there's also like games where like, yeah, having a guide kind of feels like cheating, but those games are normally when I'm just trying to enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than... enjoy some of the game aspects.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, I'm the kind of person, so there are certain things about video games, like games that I play that I want to be surprised by. And I've always been really reluctant to look at guides unless I really feel like I have to.
Right.
I had a point I was making with that, but before I say that though, one of the things that I've always really, really disliked is when a game shows me how, like, the percentage I've gotten through the story. Like, I don't want to know how far along I am.
Oh, that's going to kill me. When I finally do beat Zelda, that's going to kill me. Because there's people that have been playing this for, like, over 100 hours, they beat it, and it's, like, 14%.
Yeah. Well, see, it's, like, 14% of, like, the total game.
Right.
But, like...
I don't know. I don't view that, like, that meter by, like, I have only done 14% or whatever.
Right.
I see it as in like, holy shit, there's so much more I could do.
Yeah.
And honestly, it makes me excited. That's why I like it. Like in and then also like some of the games that have the little meters, I like them. Like the Lego games, I like that because I like getting all the 100% because it makes a Lego game an actual challenge.
Yeah. I specifically hate the meter that tells me how far along I am in the story.
It gives me a better perspective, like, on taking breaks and stuff.
Yeah. So I have used guides before, and I think, like, using guides was something that I did more when I was younger. Like, back when I was buying, like, physical strategy guides a lot. Like, I got one for Dead Rising.
I bought one for Street Fighter V.
Yeah. I got one for Dead Rising. And also, with the first Metroid Prime, I used a guide for beginning to end for that game. Because I'm garbage at Metroid.
One of my exes bought most guides that came out with the game. They were buying, and they just kept it on the bookshelf for the most part. But if...
This is something they wanted to have.
Yeah, something they wanted to have is more of aesthetic.
Right.
They can be fun to look at.
And I think that's what really turned me on to actually using guides. Because some of them that they bought were like completely fucking stupid. Like, I don't think it was Infamous, but it was like... It was along the lines of Infamous. It might have been Dante's Inferno.
Prototype.
I might have been Prototype. But one of those games... they were struggling at, so I went and just got the guide because I was tired of hearing them just like replay the same part over and over.
Just imagine you like angrily buying a fucking guide.
No, I just angrily went to the bookshelf while I was like reading an actual book, not a strategy guide. Yeah. And then it was just like looked at the part that they were at, and I was just like, "Do this."
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing you fail.
Yeah.
And I actually think that even though that their purchasing and their spending habits were completely ridiculous. It did make me like appreciate strategy guides more, because I mean, if there's things on a bookshelf, most of the time, if there's like a roommates or whatever, I'll just go through it just to see what they have.
Yeah.
Because I mean, books are cool.
Yeah.
So going through strategy guides and like seeing all the bonus content and then just seeing like how they want their battle systems to be used, they kind of give like a general gist of it. Like you get a feeling of what they want. And, like, games that have, like, multiple ways to fight and multiple weapons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then especially games like Final Fantasy 15. I got the guide for free with it. And that was fun to see, like, how, like, things that I didn't think about after. Because I'd be reading it after I already finished stuff to see if I missed anything. And it'd be fun to see, like, how they suggested to do things differently and how I got to it. I don't know. I think they're fun.
Yeah.
The only guides I can ever remember purchasing have all been for fighting games. And I think, like, you know, they don't give you anything. Like, it doesn't give you an unfair advantage.
It just tells you how to do the moves.
It tells you how to do the moves and all that, but, like, they get real in-depth, right? Like, the Street Fighter V strategy guide is like a fucking encyclopedia of, like, fighting game terminology and all that. But, like...
A street fight
club. If I were to get a guide for something like, I don't know, like The Last of Us or something like that, Infamous or whatever, like I don't think I would like that.
Well, I remember someone gifted me with a guide for the first Gears of War.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, the strategies outlined in this guide are pretty much the meat and potatoes of this game. It's like, go here and hide behind this thing and
right, like those guys specifically that like just take you through a game step by step. I don't want that. Yeah. You know,
it was like super fun work when I did work at GameStop looking at through the guides for games I already beaten, like things that they were about to like just throw out or recycle or whatever. Like I already beaten Ninja Gaiden 2 and I was just going through and I was like, oh, that's where like that thing that I missed was.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But I don't think they're worth the money that people pay for them, like most of the time.
I think that the main draw with strategy guides is kind of, I feel like it's kind of just the artwork that comes with them.
Yeah.
Because the information that you find in the guide, you can just find that on the internet.
Man, I want that Persona art book.
The 1-4-5?
Yeah, the one that comes in the special edition.
Yeah.
Like, so like Catherine came with an art book. But it was like kind of like a cheap, small pamphlet type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Where this is like a legit, like, large hardcover art book.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Man, I want that.
Yeah. Get back to Gears of War. That came with a... Like, I got the special edition for that because why not, right?
First one?
Yeah. And that came with a hardcover art book that, like, I thumbed through because the day I got that game, my 360 Red Ring, so all I had was to go through that art book over and over again.
There's a lot of games that, like, are JRPGs that, as, like, pre-order bonuses gave art books. Some of those were really fantastic. Some of them were just, like...
Every fucking Tales game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them were just like, I don't... This looks really weird, not in a video game.
Yeah. I like the idea of, in some ways, compiling my own strategy guide.
I couldn't do it. I don't know how people do it, man.
Yeah.
We talked before, like, what game could you write a guide for?
Yeah.
And there are a couple of games I think I'm knowledgeable enough to write a good guide for.
I think the only...
As somebody who's working on... worked on a Bravely Default guide.
Yeah, like, fuck that.
Oh,
seems
man.
Like way too much.
Oh, I spent... it was so much time. It was honestly... I appreciate a lot of like game fact guides.
Oh, yeah.
I just like that is such a labor of love.
Yeah.
It sounds really overdramatic.
A ton of those people get picked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds really dramatic, but like that honestly is a labor of love because it's so much time and effort and trying to make sure you're clear, trying to make sure you're concise. I don't know if you've ever tried to like write rules for like a game or anything or like even explain it to people like in general is difficult.
Yeah.
But to write like pages upon pages of like massive information and keep it concise and clear.
Yeah.
Oh man, I had somebody else read my Bravely Default guide to make sure I kept in check on that.
Yeah. And like having to like going back and, you know, making revisions to the guide, you know,
no desire to
once you get new information or if the game itself is updated, then sometimes that warrants a revision of your guide.
Well, see, and anything I could write a guide for is like old.
Yeah.
And like there's already a billion guides for it, so what's the point, you know?
Oh man, and it's
Mega Man 2 guide again, you know, like nobody needs that.
I was just thinking that the only guide that I'm qualified to write is a River City Ransom.
Yeah, exactly.
Guide.
But nobody needs that though, you know.
Some people need that.
But I'll write it. If you need it, I'll write it.
Just give Ryan Robinson a shout out on his social media.
Bravely Default. Fuck that. That seems
especially
a fucking bitch.
Especially a game like that, you know, with all those systems at play.
It's way too much.
Because like the main starting off like on the all of the four characters, their base stats don't differ very much. Like most RPGs have like some that are definitely more suited towards each one, more like affinity for magic or something. They're very, very close. And then you can get buns, and these buns give you like base stat point bonuses depending like not dependent on whatever like you're training for. Oh man. And that's like that was like a game changer. And right now all those facts and information and like how like one by like 0.5% is better for this class for this reason. Holy shit. I was a hermit. I was not doing shit besides playing that game.
I imagine like with RPGs, especially with like all those fucking numbers involved and just
World of Warcraft and doing the numbers for that game really helped me out with like doing numbers for a lot of other RPGs.
Yeah.
And it'd be easier. But it still was like trying to write a guide for this was just It was an endeavor. I'm glad I did it. It was like a fun learning experience, but also I will never do it again.
It doesn't sound fun.
I remember also I got, I don't remember how I came into it, but I got a guide for, what do you call it? Crackdown. and it was a guide to show you where all the orbs were. But here's the thing though.
Once you get an orb, you don't know which ones you've gotten.
Right. So it had a map of all where all the orbs are.
Yeah.
But it just, I felt like it was useless because I was just like...
Unless you go through from the very beginning and mark them off one by one, you're kind of fucked with Crackdown.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if they're going to do that with Crackdown 3 where they kind of let you know...
Is that happening?
I don't know.
Are they ever going to make that?
I don't know. Probably not. But if they do, I hope they have some kind of thing in place to like let you know like which orbs you've already picked up. Or if they're even going to still do orbs, I imagine they will. That's kind of a staple of that series at this point. But
I don't know if I told you all this. In the past week, times are difficult. But I don't think I told you about watching the Power Rangers movie last time.
Oh no, you did not.
Yeah, and I've seen Beauty and the Beast, the live action version, actually not bad, and like pretty good. And then the Power Rangers, which is not childhood ending, so or ruining, I should say.
I just never really cared for Power Rangers. Like even as a kid, it wasn't my thing. Mm. I think I was too busy watching X-Men.
Yeah, it's a good show.
But I went and watched it with my parents because we realized we haven't seen a movie together in like over 10 years.
Yeah. Mm.
So we watched Power Rangers, and it was not bad.
Power Rangers bothers me.
Why is that?
Because, like, so Max Landis was originally supposed to write that, and for some reason they decided not to go with him. And then, like, you see the trailer for Power Rangers, and, man, it looks strikingly similar to Chronicle. You know, all
right, so the trailer is not indicative of how the movie is, actually. Hmm. That trailer is marketing a completely different movie.
Yeah.
That is definitely some poor marketing. There are some questionable choices in that movie that I definitely would, if I was in charge, not do. One of them being having Elizabeth Banks be Rita Repulsa, her acting.
Who's Elizabeth Banks again?
The lady who plays Rita Repulsa. I don't know what else she's in.
I think she was in Zack and Miri, right?
Maybe. I feel like I've heard the name.
Oh, was that her?
I think so. I'm not positive.
But, you know, that because of that movie, there's a...
Yeah, there is. I that totally
Oh, yeah, I know who that is.
The Zack and Miri.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
Yeah, so she, her acting didn't really mesh. I feel like she definitely overacted some parts. It's not like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That is definitely supposed to be like a Power Rangers for like the new generation, which is fine. There is also some like a couple story things. So I'm just like, should a Power Ranger be like doing that?
Was it not kid friendly?
No.
What they were doing?
Well, they talked about it. They never showed it. Talking about it was kid friendly.
Was it blowjobs?
No, do you want to know?
Did someone get knuckle busted?
I mean, I'm never going to watch it.
Do you want... All right, so spoiler for the next, like, minute and a half. So all the Power Rangers have...
I'm just going to go ahead and...
All the Power Rangers
have... this up here.
Oh. Are you going to watch it?
Just let me know when you're done.
Oh, no, I won't do it if you don't. I'll tell Tommy later.
Okay.
Yeah, they... Well, this isn't really, like, ruining too much. All right, never mind on the spoiler thing. But, like, all the Power Rangers have, like, some sort of... thing they must overcome,
right,
to like make them more interesting.
So their quest is to be more interesting.
I'm talking about more interesting from a writing standpoint.
Oh, right.
But the Pink Ranger's story of what she must overcome is very weird of a choice to give her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about Power Rangers, but I know that game that just came out looks fucking awful.
You mean the mobile game?
No, there's a brawler that just came out
for, really?
Like, current-gen consoles, and it looks so bad.
Let me take a look at this. Because I keep seeing ads for a mobile game that looks exactly like that Contest of Champions game.
And, you know, like, not ever knowing much about Power Rangers... there was a SNES Power Rangers game that was actually pretty fun.
Because when you said brawler, I immediately thought of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that new one, Christ.
Power Rangers Mega Battle, I think it is.
I just don't know how something like that gets greenlit.
What, the movie or the game?
That game.
Well, I mean, you say
people
that.
People will buy it. Like,
kids, I mean, kids will buy it.
Say that, but like, think about all the other games that. You know, that we thought or talked about that we say the same thing, you know, just like just games just come out, you know, and that goes back to what we were saying about, you know, with so many games coming out with the standard of quality, you know, diminishing like rapidly. So I don't know. And it makes sense in a cash grab sort of way. Just because of the fact that this new movie is coming out.
What do you think putties do, like, on their off time?
I think they just kind of chill.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, because especially, like, it looks like being a putty is, like, super intensive because you're doing all that dancing around.
Yeah.
You got to make that sound all the time. You got Power Rangers kicking you in the chest, like, all day. It just looks like it sucks.
The new putties don't make that noise.
Lame. Do they still dance around?
Not really. They're like, you don't really get a good look at them. They're just like amalgamation of like arms and legs.
Weird.
And like body things floating.
Wieners.
No wieners.
Huh.
Or vajayjays, because there could be female putties.
Yeah.
So.
Also, they're not very putty-like. I don't know why they called
them. I mean, putties. I could have definitely predicted that a Power Rangers game was going to come out because of this movie. Much in the same way that, you know, a G.I. Joe game came out, like when the first G.I. Joe movie came out.
Wanted game came out with Wanted. Wolverine game came out with Wolverine. Yeah.
Wolverine was a good game.
Yeah, it was. TMNT came out with TMNT. Yeah. And then a bunch of Disney and Nickelodeon shows got 3DS games.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't on a home console.
So.
What?
I was thinking about fucking Platinum making all of Activision's games for them.
Yeah.
And how bad they are. Like, you know, people are, like, so many people were like, Transformers Devastation, it's so fucking good. It's not good. Yeah. I'm sorry,
Every single Transformers movie had a Transformers game.
Well, no, this is the one that Platinum recently did.
It's basically like based on Gen 1 Transformers. And
I could see the nostalgia factor being there, but that is not a good game to play. Like, is it better than Korra? Yeah, but is it? It's not good, you know?
I'm kind of thinking about that Prince of Persia game.
Well, real quick.
The Street Fighter game.
Do you like Avatar The Last Airbender?
Not really.
Okay. Because that's a Western anime. Mm.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I haven't watched a lot of it.
I think it's really, really good. The story's really good. There's a lot of characters overcoming personal strife, and it's not done like in a cheesy way.
That's funny.
I think it's really well written. Avatar The Last Airbender?
I mean, I've only watched like the first.
They call it seasons.
Do they? Because like I know with Korra, it's books.
Yeah. No.
But.
Well, okay. I mean, there's they call it seasons, but there's also like book. Yeah. There is books, but it's still seasons.
Did they ever make a video game based on that?
Yes.
Did they make a video game based on the M. Night Shyamalan
movie,
Last Airbender?
I don't remember.
Because they should have.
there was a Wii game based off Now That's What I Call Music.
Yeah.
I imagine it was a singing game.
Right. It was like a Just Dance thing.
All right, I'm into those. So I think about every time I think about licensed movie games or movie tie-in games.
Oh, also recently found out they're on to That's What I Call Music, like 71 or 74.
Yeah.
Holy shit,
people
guys!
People buying CDs still, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or like buying the albums on iTunes.
Yeah.
I actually saw somebody with a CD player at work the other day, and I was like, "What year is this?" like I said, every time someone talks about movie tie-in games, I always think about that Prince of Persia game, the game based on the movie based on the game, much in the same way like with the Street Fighter, the movie game,
Ratchet and Clank.
Oh yeah,
they reference it. It's funny, yeah.
But from what I understand, that Ratchet and Clank game is pretty great.
It's it is visually one of the most striking games of this generation.
Well, how good is it to play, though?
Same.
Is it basically just the first game?
It's a lot of the same areas as the first game. There are some new things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I think that every time... It seemed like there was a time where every time a movie... Not every time, but a lot of times like an action movie came out, especially if it was based on like a comic book or something.
Yeah.
A game would come out for it. Like Spider-Man saw it. Iron Man saw it multiple times.
Yeah, there's just like such a negative attachment to licensed games now that like I think publishers are wary of putting that shit out.
Well, because
like Korra's gonna sell, right?
Yeah.
It's not gonna sell to everybody, but there's a fuck ton of Korra fans that are gonna buy that game.
Right.
Whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
Same thing with fucking Gen 1 Transformers, you know?
And I mean, to be fair, I mean, yeah, you can certainly bank on the whole nostalgia factor, but I don't think that's good enough to build a game on top of.
Right.
And
but like you see everything that Disney's doing with the Marvel properties, and like, yes, there's a new Guardians coming out, and yes, Guardians is coming out from Telltale.
Right.
They're not the same canon. Like, they're not tied into each other.
Right.
you know,
because I imagine the Telltale one is pulling from directly from the comics.
It is, yeah, and I think like that's smart because, you know, whether they are tie-ins or not, one is still going to help sell the other.
Sure.
You know, they're doing the same thing with Spider-Man. Like that's Insomniac's own Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it's not tied to anything.
And
you know?
But I'm sure that that Spider-Man Homecoming is definitely going to help sell that game too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I don't know. I think that I go back to, I guess I'm trying to think about when the first Iron Man movie came out, and I can't place it right now, but
I don't know, but Iron Man 2 for DS is so bad.
Oh, every Iron Man game I've ever played has been bad. And it sucks because just like back in 06 when that Superman Returns game came out.
Yeah.
I was like, I looked at it and I was like, this could be the one. This could be the one. Because I mean, to my recollection, Superman has never had a good game.
There was a brawler that was based off the Death and Return that was,
yeah,
okay.
I remember that. I played it on SNES.
Yeah. And then like obviously like,
and it lets you play as Superman.
The fighting games, like even the old Justice League Task Force was not a horrible game.
I didn't like it,
but
but I mean, even still, that wasn't like a Superman game,
right?
I really thought that Superman Returns was going to do it, but it didn't. I bet Man of Steel would have, but apparently nobody liked that movie, but I don't know, it's pretty great. But so it's weird because Batman games they've been good more often than they've not been.
Right.
Even
the movie tie-in ones. Batman Begins was a pretty good game.
Yeah. Batman Forever, not so much.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems weird that, I don't know if it seems weird. I guess maybe it's just really hard to do a character like Superman correctly in a video game setting.
I mean, I think flying is difficult to do well.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're not going to make Superman fly like an airplane, you know? Like,
yeah.
It would feel wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that's difficult to capture.
Yeah. And also a game like giving us a Superman game full of only enemies that Superman would actually find a challenge, because you're not going to challenge Superman with the same guys you're challenging Batman with.
Yeah, that's true too. I never really thought about that. Like Superman, like they just can't have regular cronies.
Yeah.
To fight.
Yeah, like, and that was the thing about the Death and Return of Superman is like it was a brawler, so a lot of the guys you were fighting were just chumps.
Yeah.
Like, but the thing is, like, you had to punch them multiple times. You get punched by Superman, your head's gonna explode. Like 100% of the time, your head's gonna explode.
Or Injustice, when he punches Hawkman and turns his head the other way and literally kills him by punching him.
Yeah. Taste the mace. But I don't know. I just
like they'd have to do something dumb with the story.
Yeah.
Like to make good gameplay for a modern day Superman, they'd have to do something dumb with the story in which like all of these enemies have like a fucking piece of kryptonite or something like that.
Maybe.
And it would be fucking lame.
Yeah. But
well, there's plenty of DC superheroes and supervillains that can go toe to toe with Superman.
Sure.
He is.
But enough to populate a whole game where you need like hundreds of enemies.
Oh, I mean, if you need...
Well, I guess depending on the kind of game you make, right?
Yeah.
It also depends on which Superman we're doing here. So if we're doing, like, Red Sun or Injustice, he's not going to give a fuck and he's going to destroy everything. But if we're doing...
Hell yeah.
But if we're doing, like, an actual Superman who doesn't want to kill people for the most part, then that's what makes it more interesting. Superman's own moral dilemma is what will keep him back and is fine to write in a story and is believable depending on how you have your Superman.
Make your game about Clark Kent, not Superman.
Have it be.
I mean, you say that, and Clark Kent is.
But Clark Kent is Superman, though.
Right, right. But like, what are you going to do with that? Like Telltale? I don't want that.
Mm.
No. I like Telltale, but I don't want that.
I mean, if we're doing a Dynasty Warriors-esque Superman game,
Superman Musso.
It's just like
ridiculous.
It's just him, just like plowing through like legions of dudes.
Oh, it's just like the yeah. eye laser beams.
Yeah,
the,
yeah,
like,
he wouldn't even need to punch.
Breath,
just laser beam the entire
that's so
time.
So fucking funny.
Freeze breath.
We'll just fly across the map. Who cares?
I mean, like, if we're not doing like a Musso, then like, there's like, if we're doing like a fighting game or a brawler, then like,
I think
there's enough to where we could either explain why he pulls back some punches on, or like doesn't want to kill some people, and then the other ones that he's not, that he's going to get angry enough to where he's not going to hold back. They can go toe to toe with him.
Yeah, maybe maybe it's Shazam's turn.
I mean, Shazam, Black Adam, Supergirl, Power Girl.
You all see that Wonder Woman. They're doing a Batgirl movie.
Yeah.
A new one, yeah.
Joss Whedon, right?
I'm excited about that. Because every article I see for it, they've got Batgirl of Burnside as the image. And I'm like, is that what he's pulling from? Because that'd be really cool.
I don't understand why there was a sex scene in Killing Joke. I didn't want it.
You don't...
Okay.
Because people like sex. Sex sells.
I just didn't want to see Batgirl.
Come on, this is the 90s.
Cowgirl and Batman.
Yeah.
Well, you got it. So it's there if you want it. It's there if you change your mind.
Thanks. Thanks for reminding me about that.
Or I don't know if it, I don't know if it's possible to do this correctly or in a way that isn't like just trying too hard or lame, but a game based on a comic where you play as the villain, maybe?
Like a Hush game?
Like maybe.
That'd be all right.
Like a Hush game where, like, I mean, like, yeah, because you'd have to solve puzzles. There'd be, like, some choice based, like, how are you going to take on something and then have to, like, strategize that plan. And then, like, and then, like, going through it as well. That'd be fun. Yeah. I think a Hush game would be really fun.
Yeah. Picture this. You are Clayface. Okay.
Oh, man.
But that actually.
But if we want to do, like, I mean, we already have, like, other stuff, but I mean, like, I think. I think a Batwoman game could be done really well. I really like that.
I mean, I think that's easy to do, though. You know, like that's like copy and paste Arkham, and you can do most of these superheroes.
What I'm saying is, if we do it in like an art style that's like very similar to a comic book, where it's like watercolor esque.
Yeah.
There's also like there's different villains and different parts of the underground.
Yeah.
That Batwoman can get to that Batman can't. I think we explored that. And, like, I think it could have a really cool, just really flowy art style to it.
And I think it would also be...
I think it would be a really fun game. It would
also be an opportunity to, you know, touch on some, you know, villains from that world that don't often get referenced. Because, I mean, every Batman game that I've played in recent memory is, like, a lot of Joker in those games.
Or do a comic book superhero one based off of the Mystic ones,
okay.
Like a dark and the Justice League Dark group.
Man, that looks so good. I've not read that, but it looks really good.
I've read a good.
They made a movie. Animated movie. Looks pretty good.
Did ever make a Flash game?
I mean, he's been in games, but like a standalone Flash game, I'm not sure.
I mean, he's just so, he's so overpowered most of the time that it's really not fun.
Did Wonder Woman ever get a game?
She must have.
I can't think of
she's been in games. I don't know if she's had her own. But, I mean, Wonder Woman would be fun if you wanted to do it more, I mean, if you want to, like, have her start out on, like, the Mascara. And, like, training with the Amazons.
Yeah.
Finding out her heritage.
That's the tutorial section. All fucking boring.
Well, I think...
tutorials are always boring anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Have it be boring. But then also, like, have, like, competitions where, like, and stuff like that. Like, going around. I think that'd be cool. Like, and then going and finding out about the gods. And then going to the mortal realm.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'd buy it. I think it could be done in a correct way.
I'd buy it.
I think it could be done in a fun way.
Yeah. I just think that as far as superhero games are concerned, I think that we tend to focus on primarily a select few.
X-Men Legends.
Bring it back.
I think a Green Lantern Corps game would be really fun because that way you can create your own Green Lantern, you see. And then also...
You see.
And then, So the constructs are all done on, like, your willpower and, like, what you imagine.
Yeah.
Like, the constructs that Guy Gardner are going to make are completely different than the constructs that, like, Kyle Rayner are going to make.
Mm.
So if you make your own, like, character, and, like, for the corpse, you can also do your own, like, style and, like, you know, have it in the game where as you learn them, you can draw your own, like, add some, like, drawful or whatever. or like have things that you can select from that are like pre-made.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited for Spider-Man? I'm super excited for Insomniac Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, because I haven't played a good Spider-Man game since Spider-Man 2.
But like even the not so good Spider-Man games, like just moving around like that is so fun.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not a huge fan of Spider-Man, so yeah. I'm not excited. But I'm not hating on it. I think it's fine. Other people are.
You know who needs the time to shine? Spider-Man 2099.
No.
All right. Sorry, I tried to make it happen.
Well, like, and what a great developer to make that game.
Yeah.
You know?
Would Swamp Thing make a good game?
I think probably. So.
There was a Swamp Thing game.
Was there?
Like I think NES.
Back, yeah, back when we were little.
I think NES. I'm not positive. Yeah. It was not good.
I mean, I wonder if like, I mean, they'd have to do like his connection to the green, I think, and all that.
Well, like, playing Injustice gave me, like, I look at these characters, because we talked about Spider-Man, Superman, and how he hasn't had a good game in ever, and I look at, like, what they did with Superman in that game, and I think, like, there's a good game somewhere.
No, I think if it's not just a story-heavy game, then I think it kind of fucked with Superman.
Yeah. Oh, with Superman?
And I love Superman. I'd love to see a good Superman game, but I think it's hard to do. Yeah. You could pick any one of these billion other superheroes and it'd be way easier, right? Batman's easy to make a game for.
Yeah.
You know?
There's multiple different versions of him. Yeah. He's written in a bunch of different lights. Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
He is more relatable since he does not have superpowers.
That being said, like the
you know what?
Rumors of a Batman Beyond Arkham style game would be pretty fucking cool.
I would love that. Yes.
I think that, you know what? I think if they did it like some alternate universe Superman, where there's like a planet full of like people that are like the Kryptons, same powers, stuff like that, or like even more powerful, or like even similar,
okay.
And they came down and try and invade the Earth. And that's like, and you have to defeat them. I think that's the only way.
Or you take it back, like, to what Superman started as and strip away most of those powers, you know? Superman didn't always fly. Superman used to basically be a strong dude that could jump high, you know?
Leap tall buildings in a single bound. Right.
If you take it back to that, if you strip it down, I think you could make a better game.
So Man of Steel game?
Or...
because that's how it started.
Yeah.
Or create some sort of enemy that can go toe-to-toe feasibly and make sense. And
Metallo.
But with that, I mean, that's the thing, though. You can't have, like, one enemy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
For your whole game.
Well, then he'd have to put Superman against, like,
I'm saying, like, the Legion of Doom. Yeah. And then, like, you have, like, the leaders of it that you have to go and defeat all the leaders.
Yeah.
And then maybe convert the rest of them into being good guys. And you're like, but, like, that, and that way, I mean, it still has a story, but it's not, like, you can make that not story heavy.
Right.
Just give base descriptions and, like, all that, just to have a couple cutscenes, be like, all right, well, most people are like, all right, well, this is the bad guys.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't need, like, an epic for everything.
Yeah.
Why hasn't, like, you guys remember the, at least hearing about the Nemesis system from Shadow of Mordor?
Yeah.
I feel like that has that could be implemented in a really interesting way if we're talking, like, about a comic book video game.
So I was listening to a different podcast, and they were talking about the Nemesis system, and they were talking about like that was a thing that people pointed to that they were like, people are going to be putting this in games.
Yeah,
this is going to be in a lot of other games,
and it just didn't happen.
And it hasn't been, right. The next game to come out to have it is Shadow of War. Yeah. That being said, I think it also it's like what we brought up with Battlefield 1 and the next Call of Duty, like, development takes time, you know?
Sure.
So, Nemesis System could come back in some way.
Yeah. I mean, making video games is hard.
That and, like, but that's WB owned, isn't it?
Like, well, yeah, but, I mean, they could do something similar and not call it that, you know?
Right.
It was a really interesting mechanic when I first saw it in Shadow of Mordor. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity to put it into, especially a superhero game, especially if you're talking
about... Has there been a Constantine game?
I doubt it.
I think there was, based on the movie, though.
Oh.
Whoa.
Sorry.
I think there was, because I vaguely remember seeing a PS2 Constantine cover.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to make, I think that the best way to go with video games based on comics is to actually base them on comics instead of basing them on a movie.
And I don't necessarily agree. Like,
more often than not, I feel.
X-Men Origins Wolverine was a better video game than it was a movie, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, like, what Marvel is doing and DC has been doing in, you know, selecting specific companies to make certain games, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Insomniac, one of Insomniac's strong suit is traversal.
Yeah.
You know, and in a Spider-Man game, that's important, right?
Yeah.
Guardians giving that to Telltale, I think, is a smart thing as well. I don't know. I think that's the easiest thing. Just give it to... Put it in the hands of people that can handle, like, that specific property.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at one point, like, decide... Well, giving the property to the developer will ultimately decide, you know, what kind of game it turns out to be. But yeah. You kind of have to just take a look at, like, the key characteristics of, you know, whatever character you're trying to go for. Like you said, with Spider-Man, like, traversal is a big thing, and Insomniac has already shown that they can do that.
And I guess technically that's Sony doing that, not Marvel, but
also, you know, it'd be super fun if they made a Justice League game, but they're all babies, like
Muppet babies,
like, or like Tiny Toons. But they're like mini Flash, baby. Like,
okay.
Baby Bruce.
That could actually be fun.
Baby Bruce is all like brooding. John Jones is just like what? And then like the Flash is being like a little kid that's like stealing all the juice and stuff.
I feel like John Jones would get picked on a lot. Because...
And then like.
Nah, I feel like he's pretty smart.
Bruce is super happy because he still has parents.
Yeah.
No. He's
at the end of the game where he loses the parents.
No, he's still his parents are still dead. He still has Alfred. He's like an adult Batman, but shrunk down.
Got it.
Okay.
All of them are like superheroes.
So it's
have
the
all
present
their
versions of themselves, just as babies.
As babies. Yes. That's weird. You're a weird person.
I'd play it though.
Yeah, I totally.
Yeah, there's a comic, like a web comic that I every now and then go to. That's basically the premise. And I just thought about it. I was like, man, that would make a great game.
Yeah.
I would totally play Mini Adventures. And it's come across like baby Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Also, because if you're doing baby Avengers, I mean, baby Hulk is always cute. So I'm down for it.
Oh, baby Avengers.
Yeah.
Oh, baby Thor with a hammer is just as big as he is or bigger.
Yeah.
I hate Thor.
He's a boring character.
Are you fine with the new Thor?
I don't know anything about the new Thor.
Yeah, because like pretty much they're having it where like Odin's son, like Thor Odin's son is like still Odin's son,
right?
But the mantle of Thor and wielding the hammer,
right?
That is like an actual mantle to uphold.
Okay. Thor, I just don't like. I don't like Thor's dialogue.
I
don't like the Hulk's dialogue. Like, these are not. I like the Hulk as a character, and when there's a lot of Bruce Banner there, it's interesting. But like, reading,
there is a point in time
reading Hulk, the way that Hulk speaks and the way that Thor speaks is fucking boring. I haven't
kept up with.
I think it's more interesting like when he goes like back to Valhalla.
Yeah.
I haven't kept up with Thor, or not Thor, I haven't kept up with Hulk since in decades now, but the last I remember reading the Hulk was in the early 90s, and he talked like a normal dude while in Hulk form.
Mm.
So.
That was one of the first Game Gear games I got was a Hulk game. It was pretty good.
I just had a random thought.
Mm.
Okay, so.
Oh yeah, there's been a lot of Hulk games.
Yeah.
The term Metroidvania.
Yes.
So. It's the whole word Metroid and only part of Castlevania.
Right.
So I think that word's not being shared equally.
I don't think it needs to be shared equally.
Castleroid.
Castlevania was not Metroidvania. Like, it was not that style until Symphony of the Night, you know, whereas Metroid always was.
I just think Castleroid is a more fair split.
Yeah.
I only said that because I saw the word Metroidvania and just randomly popped in my head.
You know... somebody was talking about this week. Like, he brought up Metroidvanias, and I think it's interesting that, like, that has become, like, its own genre, right? Like, named after these...
Like, the de facto
these
term.
Two great games.
Right.
And then there's, like, roguelike, you know, which has become its own thing. Not really a genre, but like kind of, yeah. right? There can be many different styles of roguelikes, right?
It's a descriptor to help narrow down. But
like more and more often with like, more and more frequently with these games coming out over the past couple of years, I'm hearing Souls-like a lot. And I wonder if that'll stick. I wonder if that'll be the next thing.
I think that the Souls games, along with Bloodborne, have definitely carved out their own like corner of the video game fan base.
Right.
And so you go through those games, you're like, man, I would like to play more games that are like this, or you know, have this very distinct kind of challenge to them. And I think that when done right, the games can be very good.
I think that was funny when Demon's Souls came out. There's a lot of people I remember describing it as Ninja Gaiden like, and the fact that like the difficulty, not necessarily the playstyle, but I heard it multiple times described compared to the Ninja Gaiden series,
which just is weird.
I get it. Like, there's what else are you to describe it
right
to?
Right at the time,
like, if you're describing this game and how difficult it is to somebody,
right?
Be like, oh, it's like it's harder than Ninja Gaiden. It is just as hard as the first time I played Ninja Gaiden. Like it's there like a lot of with Demon Souls. That was a lot of the appeal was just like how difficult it was. I think Dark Souls was a vast improvement on the series.
Like between, you know, Lords of the Fallen and Nioh and Let It Die and whatever that new future one is, like that term's getting thrown around a lot. And I just wonder if it's going to stick the way Metroidvania has stuck or the way roguelike has stuck.
It's funny, you know? Because until before Nioh.
I think for a while, yeah. I mean, I don't know if roguelike will stick forever.
I think it will.
Rogue was a long time ago, you know?
So I think like before Nioh, like between the first Souls game and going up to right before Nioh, like Souls-like was a pretty accurate descriptor of games in that vein. You know, with like games like Lords of the Fallen, which I maintain is a pretty damn good game. But the thing about Nioh is a lot of people have called that game a Souls-like as well, but it also bears, like, it's interesting that Shanae brought up the comparison to Demon Souls to Ninja Gaiden, because Nioh very much feels like Ninja Gaiden, whilst also having some Dark Souls game conventions too.
Yeah,
like it's got the really fast, like constantly frenetic pace of combat that Ninja Gaiden has. Mm-hmm. Mixing it with a lot of the action RPG conventions that the Souls games share.
Right. But I mean, even so though, like, when we talk about Metroidvanias, right, or roguelikes, typically these games are way different from Metroid or Castlevania
right.
or Rogue. They just share certain things with it.
Right.
You know? There are things that all Metroidvanias do. There are things that roguelikes do, you know.
Right. So, because typically, in my experience anyway, with the Souls games and Souls-like games, the combat in those games is very similar.
Yeah.
It's very, with the exception of Bloodborne, it's very weighty, and like the pace of the combat and everything and the exploration is like very deliberate. Whereas Nioh is not that. I think Nioh is closer, honestly, to Bloodborne than any of the Souls games. But then again, Souls, it depends on like how we're defining Souls-like, because if we're just going with really difficult action RPG, then I guess that's, they all fit the bill.
I don't know. I'm just wondering, like,
I think as time progresses and more games come out,
it'll be easier to define it.
Yes, I think it'll have a much more stable.
Yeah,
I just wonder if that's going to be like a permanent mainstay in video game vocabulary, the way these other games have been.
I can see it
just based on the quality of the games that have been coming out. But it also depends on how many games come out over the span of the next few years that, you know, kind of fit that.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, we've had enough roguelikes to continue feeling comfortable using that term. and we're gonna we continue to have more games coming out that share conventions, conventions with each other to warrant the continued use of that term. Same with Metroidvanias. We're still having a lot of those, but as of right now, I don't think that we've had enough of games like the Soul series to really say. But I would like to see that maintained because I do like games like that.
But I mean, I feel like there's a tremendous amount of them coming out this generation.
Yeah.
You know, I just named four that came out over the past 2-3 years, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, as times change and people's tastes change and what's people are wanting to make and are inspired by and what people are willing to buy. Yeah, I mean, there'll be games that, I mean, every game that has, like, made its own niche has, like, things that spawn off from it.
Yeah.
Like Assassin's Creed 2. I definitely feel like that was a lot different than a lot of games that were out there at the time.
Yeah. At that time, yes.
At that time. But now, it's a much more common style to see, and you see a lot of elements that are definitely Assassin's Creed like, but we don't use that term.
Yeah, I'm so fucking glad we don't use that term.
Creed likes.
Yeah.
As far as that, I mean, obviously we don't know because we can't tell the future. So I can see Souls being here to stay, and people are already using it, but also, like, I just feel like the fandom for Souls is much more, like, close-netted than Assassin's Creed.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I feel like maybe that will give it the staying power is people who are so protective of this franchise.
Right.
And, like, hold it so dear. That's the only reason why I can see this phrase staying.
Hmm.
Yeah. Does Dark Souls chart?
Yeah.
Really?
Did pretty well.
Did Demon Souls?
I think it did well, but, I mean, that was, like, 8 years ago, so I couldn't say for sure. But yeah, I think Dark Souls 3 did pretty well.
I just never, like, you know, going to, like, looking through, like, NPD and then VGA and all that stuff, like, I don't ever remember seeing a Souls game chart.
Yeah.
But I very well could be wrong.
And they might not have. Because you have to remember that as far as those games go, I live largely in an echo chamber, so, you know, like, I know of all the people that,
right, you know, a ton of people that are playing games,
but, like, right, again, like, that's a very small corner of you know, the player base, so I mean, I can't say for sure. But I mean, I know that the most I know about Dark Souls 3 is that it did well critically, but as far as sales are concerned, I'm not sure.
Been seeing Birdo playing a bit of that.
Yeah. It's a really good game, and I'm excited to see, because I know you said that you were thinking of giving the original Dark Souls another shot.
I'll try it.
Yeah. If you ever get around to that, it'd be really fun to see that. But I, like, as somebody who's played, like, every Souls game, I consider Dark Souls 3, as far as gameplay is concerned, to be my favorite. I think it was just, I honestly feel like it was a more refined version of Dark Souls 1.
Mm.
Or at the very least, what Dark Souls 2 should have been.
This should give you more guns.
I think that if you got at least 3 guns, you'd be cool.
Yeah.
How many guns would you want, Tom?
5 guns.
You know what does have guns? Neo's got guns.
Probably some bullshit old-fashioned fucking musket.
Bayonet.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's no Uzis or nothing.
But... Yeah, I want Dark Souls with Uzis.
Oh, you want Uzis? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a game called Shadow the Hedgehog. Where are we at on time?
We're there.
So,
kind of a weird episode today.
Yeah.
We're kind of all over the place.
So we talked about strategy guides.
Yeah.
We talked about Power Rangers. Yeah. We talked about what else?
Superheroes.
Tom doesn't like the way Hulk talks.
Yeah. Or Thor.
Or Thor. He doesn't like the way Thor talks. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I had lots of fun.
I did too. I ate cookies today. I'm good.
Anyway,
I could have that cookie.
Also, Shanae got to start the episode again.
Yeah, and I didn't mess it up.
Well, we did have to start over.
Oh, shut up.
That being said, thank you once again for joining us this week on the Save Continue podcast. If you have any tips or comments that you want to pass along to us, you can email us at savecontinuepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at Save Continue Podcast. My name is Ryan Robinson. This is Tom Shelby.
Bye.
Shanae Howard.
Bye, guys.
See you next week.